Father, we come to you today and we thank you for everyone being here to fellowship and worship you, and it's all about you, Father. And we thank you for watching over us through this past week and the next coming week. We thank you for the deliverance that everyone's going to get today from the cleansing stream, Father. We thank you for your blessings upon our lives and for blessing people in Israel, Lord, and supplying their needs. And Brother Jerry and the orphanage, Lord God, that you'll supply everything that they need and that they need every month in Jesus' name. But we thank you for the word that's getting ready to come forth and Pastor Mark, Lord God, let revelation come. And we thank you for leading and guiding by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know what we just did right here, this prophetic act, you know. That's what it is. And honestly, if you look at them yellow lines, I know that one summer my dad moved in with us and things. That's kind of why they got shut down. It was during the summer I'd have Donna. Well, the church actually went on the first one. It was in May of 2006. There was about 8 or 10 of us men that walked. It was out Pekin Road. It was like a 7-mile shot. But anyway, we took turns carrying it. But God told me to keep on doing it. And Donna would drop me off in the truck somewhere, and I'd already have it down where I was going to walk. And I'd call her when I got done after my 5-6 miles. And that's kind of, it was just sections. But anyway, that was a prophetic act too. And we've done a lot of things like that in our history. And I remember New Year's Eve one time. I saw that. I saw an airplane. Did I see an airplane? Okay, I thought I saw an airplane. That was a prophetic act. Or a pathetic act. I'm not sure which. I remember one New Year's Eve. We used to always get together for a prayer meeting on New Year's Eve. And I remember one New Year's Eve in particular. It was bitter cold in the barn. And that's bitter cold. And the Lord showed me, he said, I think, how do we have a video camera? Did we have one or we borrowed one? It was one of them big suitcase. I don't know what it was. But anyway, he said, go through Greenville and shoot a video going down 150 and go through all the streets of Greenville so you can remember where they're all at, because I didn't have a map. They don't make city maps of Greenville. Y'all probably didn't know that. It's not like Louisville or Chicago. You know, you can't get a city map of Greenville. So he had, Donna was in on it, had us take blue and white and two, were you in on it? You were, weren't you? And took two or three different colors of duct tape and laid out the town of Greenville in the barn, on the barn floor, on the carpet. Laid out the streets, the street names. And I remember that night we danced over them and we walked up and down them and we prayed for Greenville, Indiana. Even though we weren't in the city limits, he told us to do that. And that was like a long time ago. Well before we had the property here. So what's the point of all that? So God didn't really mean that, and that really wasn't what God wanted. No, I think that's exactly what God wanted. And I was telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, I have failed as a leader somewhat, you know, because lots of times I have went on and I've done things myself because there didn't seem to be anybody interested in picking up the cross, or seemed to, okay? And that's my mistake. But I've had so many visions for how God could make this kingdom grow. For one thing, there could be an after-school program where the bus lets kids off here and kids could come up here and they could work on a computer, but they would get Jesus, you know. And I know that God wants to do things like this, but I'm appealing to you to be available. If the Lord asks you to do something, don't blow him off and go, I ain't got time. And if he asks you to do it, you got time. Do it, you know. you know, there's just, I can't even think of them all right now, but there's so many, there's a need, there's a huge need right now, and it's growing every day. There's a huge need for a deliverance program, a freedom program for all the people addicted to drugs. And I'm not talking pot, and I'm not talking pills. I'm talking heroin. There's people pumping heroin all up and down this highway. Greenville, Indiana's probably got several junkies. I know of one. I mean, God can use you to set them free. But you got to be willing, you know. And I believe y'all are willing. And I have failed to motivate you. But, you know, we might be small, but we are mighty. We are an army. God has called us to be an army. And I know we're fragmented and spread out, but God can make this thing work, you know. And that's what I'm praying, because I think he's getting us ready for that influx of people. When you got all these souls in this harvest that we've been talking about coming into the kingdom, you're going to get junkies. You're going to get, yeah, some of them are going to be, bam, they're going to be set free right there at the altar. But not everybody is. Some of them are going to have to work out their salvation and freedom with fear, with trembling, you know. And it's going to take somebody getting down there and loving them. Yeah. It's loving people that you would normally would have despised and said, oh, you know, you're an idiot. Why did you do this? Everybody knows better than to do that, you know. But you're dealing with people that have things in their life that's caused them to be that way, most likely. They got hurts, they got rejections, they've got fear, they've got who knows what's in their life, you know. God loves everybody, and God wants us to love everybody. Amen. We don't come into agreement with the sin now. That's a huge, you know, I don't even think I have to tell you that as Pastor Mark. I don't agree with the sin, but I think God wants to use us to free this, start with this town. Let this be a godly city that God has raised up. And I could tell you some of the history of Greenville. It was raised up as a place of rest. There was that big brick building down there that Janet used to live in for a while. That was a place that built stagecoaches. There was a hotel, I think, there. It was a place for rest. It was a place where weary travelers coming down this western path called Buffalo Trace, which is 150, it was a place where people got rest, they got food, and they got refreshed, and they went on their journey. I believe in the spiritual, that's what God wants to use. He wants to make it a place of rest. He wants it to be a place of food. But you know what happened? They were a place of rest. They had a couple, three places of lodging. But then guess what happened? The devil always tries to pervert things. Yep. I believe there was a couple of houses of ill repute. Mm-hmm. I believe a couple of taverns rose up, and what was supposed to be a place of rest to prepare people to go on crippled people and got them addicted. And so I'm just saying, just please be willing. God's not going to ask you to do anything that he won't equip you to do. And Pastor Mark's not going to probably ask you anything to do unless the Holy Spirit shows me, you know. But feel it. I want you to look at it like an honor. When God asks you to do something for the kingdom, you should be honored. It shouldn't be like, oh, God, you know, oh, God, you know I'm too busy for that. The stuff you're too busy for, you don't get no joy out of anyway. You know, the stuff that's got you busyness, you probably don't get a lot of joy out of it anyway, do you? So, I don't know why I went there. I'm going to be real brief because we got to be back up here in a couple of hours and see demons tremble and flee. And you know what? I don't think we're going to need no garbage buckets either, because they've been getting softened up for three or four months. It's just going to be like, we don't care how they go, long as they go in Jesus' name. Mark 1, right? Nah, we're not going to read that. Luke 19. I'm skipping a bunch. I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit of that. John the Baptist said, I come to baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Praise the Lord. See, right there was a paradigm shift. And I'm not going to explain to you what a paradigm shift is because I probably won't get it exactly right. But it's a change in the way you think of things. It's a change in the way you do things. And the kingdom of God in the Jewish church and the Jewish culture in Israel, it was all about what? Keeping the law, keeping the commandments, doing the works, which God said to do. That is not wrong. They were doing, but it became like Greenville. It started out good, it started out pure, it started out holy. And you've heard what the priest said when Jesus said, is it okay to heal a crippled man on the Sabbath day? And they're just sitting there going, I hope he screws up because we're going to nail him. He said, you hypocrites. You hypocrites. He healed that man, didn't he? And then they were out to get him. Well, this paradigm shift with John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist was preaching repentance unto salvation. Praise the Lord. But then Jesus came along to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And what used to be a hard thing, Danny, it's hard. Religion's hard. When I grew up in church, man, we had evangelistic, but I couldn't do it. I said, you know what? I'm leaving. I can't do this. It's too much for me. I left for a long time. But if I had known the ease of the gospel and if I had known that God had good things for me, much better things than I chose to settle for, I wouldn't have wasted 15 years. But I did, and that's under the blood, praise God. But there was a shift. When Jesus came and Jesus died on the cross and Jesus rose again, there was a whole shift in the way people looked at God. You know, the people that followed Jesus saw there was a difference. And I want to read you a couple of, you know, before this shift, it was hard, even impossible, to keep God's laws. Wouldn't you agree? Wouldn't you agree? Was it hard for you? Was there a time in y'all's life when it was hard for you to keep the commandments? When it was hard, well, you didn't, obviously. We didn't. But after Jesus, let me ask you this. If you think about this, after Jesus, after he has forgiven you, after he's come into your life, you know what the paradigm shift is? Now it's hard for me not to keep the commandments of God. I've got a kick and squeal and moan, and when I don't keep God's commandments, I'm not happy. When I'm not following Jesus, I'm not happy. I'm not saying I get it 100%, far from it. But you know what? When I am going my own way and I'm doing things of the world, you know what? It don't feel any more. Y'all agree with that pretty much? It's hard to not follow Jesus. Boy, what a shift from, oh, I've got to do this. I'm good. You know, in my idea, I don't know about y'all, but before I really gave my heart to Jesus, it's like, oh, gosh, I can't do this, man. Here was my proclamation, of wisdom. I'm going to sin and do what I want till I'm 80 years old. And then I'm going to come to Jesus right before I die. I'm serious. That was my thoughts of what a drudgery it was to follow Jesus. If I had only known, what a joy. Okay. Luke 19, did I tell you that? This is great. Verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named, what? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, who was a chief tax collector, and he was, what? Rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be the guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, some things don't change, do they? Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore what? Fourfold. I think the Jewish law was to restore double. He doubled that again. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is what? Lost. So there's two examples here I'm giving you. I think Zacchaeus took the easy way, don't you? Zacchaeus was hungry. Zacchaeus knew he was screwed up, didn't he? Because tax collectors were notorious for ripping people off. They were hated by the Jewish people because they were collecting taxes for who? The Jews? No, they were collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. And the thing is they always collected more than was due, and they put it in their pocket. They were allowed to do that, by the way. Acts 9. Some people do it the easy way, and some people do it the hard way. Acts 9, verse 1. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, capital W, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now you got Zacchaeus, who's a heathen, a tax collector, hangs out with prostitutes, probably drunken parties every night. And then you've got Saul. Saul was a man of God, wasn't he? He preached. He was a priest. He was the son, I think he was the tribe of Levi. He was a priest. He said later on, he said, I was way above most of y'all, man. I did everything just the way the Jewish law taught us to do it. So he was very religious, and he hated Jesus very much. He hated his followers very much. And he killed many Christians. He took many Christians bound to jail and prison. And Jesus made a strange statement to him and said, Saul, Saul, is it not hard to kick against the goads? And if y'all don't know what that means, I didn't know till a couple of years ago what that meant, but what they would do is if they had horses that kicked, like when they were pulling a wagon or pulling a chariot or pulling a cart, when they would kick and, you know, they damage themselves, they damage their master, they damage the cargo, what they would do is they would get these big oak, well, I don't know if they were oak, but They get poles about this big around, and they would sharpen one end, razor sharp, and they would mount this thing to the thing, and it would point right at their butt. And when they kicked against this sharp pointed stick, and it hurt real bad. And that's what he was saying. He says, "Saul, Saul, isn't it? You're kicking against something that you cannot move, you cannot change. So why do you do this?" And then we'll go on from there. But trembling and astonished, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" The Lord said, "Arise, go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. You know, that reminds me of when he got baptized. Heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And I don't think everybody heard that. I think people heard a sound, but they weren't tuned into the Spirit, so they didn't hear. That's why, Buster, you can hear something from the Lord sometimes, and you might be kind of weird, or I can hear something from the Lord, and I can repeat it, and people will go, "Well, you know, that's kind of weird. That ain't what I'm hearing." You know, I'm in tune with what God's showing me. And sometimes what God shows you seems to be pretty weird. Yeah. You know, if you look at the prophets through the Bible, a lot of the things they said was pretty weird. Mm-hmm. Like, "I want you to walk around naked for how long?
Three years.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, God, I haven't been on my THM long enough to do this, you know. I'm not ready to walk around naked for 3 years. Can you imagine a man of God, a prophet of God, "Now I want you to get naked"? You think the people thought that was God? Probably not. Another one he said, "I want you to lay on your right side for 3.5 years. And I want you to use your feces for fuel to cook your meals." And you know what he said? "No, Lord, you know I've never touched anything unclean." He said, "Okay, you can use animal dung." Really? Read it. "And then I want you to lay on your other side for 3.5 years. And this is going to be a symbol." You read it. You can read it. But if you go through the Bible, I mean, there was just all kinds of instances of God doing something, making somebody or asking somebody to do something really, really strange. Because you know what? Strange things gets people attention. If I was to walk into Greenville naked, they get some attention. Might not be the kind we want. "Come to Faith Harvest, praise the Lord. Maybe I could blow the shofar while I'm doing it." Get a picture of that. That's scary, man. Yes, it is on the World Wide Web. "Come to Greenville and see the pastor walk around town naked." I think I need to do that, what you call it, pump you up videos. What's? Yeah. I hope I don't go to prison naked, though. I don't want to do that. Never mind. You know, and by the way, I didn't tell y'all, but your worship leader did a phenomenal job last night leading worship at Unfinished Church. It was,
praise the Lord, it was good. Good, Jamie. It was awesome.
And it was awesome. I got to talk to the pastor down there, and he's really got a heart for people. It's on Elm Street. I mean, you know, right there in the center of where God wants to move, you know. And I got talking with him, and he's got very similar vision. That church has got very similar vision to what we do, but, you know, they're a little bit more in you throw something out there, you probably might get a few more people walking by. But anyway, he's a man of God. But I'm sorry I forgot to mention that, but you could have been proud of your worship, part of your worship team. It was good. It was really good. And the Holy Spirit came in that place last night. It was just really, really good. It was powerful. Verse 7, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Now that's got to be weird. You know, today you could say it's a cell phone or, you know, it's a radio or a TV. Not back then. It's like you hear a voice. It's like, where is this coming from? Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes opened, he saw no one. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. We'll always do that. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias. Boy, it's a specific man. Coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, I hear you, Lord, first, right? Now what's he say? Lord, I have heard from many about this man. He's not cool. I don't want to end up losing my life or going to prison. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he is, authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name, Jesus. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who call on his name in Jerusalem? And he has come here for that same purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that he is Jesus the Christ. Sometimes people come in the hard way, once they come in, you know, they're a little bit even stronger, you know. And I don't advise that to be the way, but that's a good thing. If you got a past, you know what? You came in the hard way. You kicked against the goads. You kicked against every authority that had ever come up against you. But guess what? You finally figured out that you can't kick against God's plan for your life. And some of y'all may not have figured that out yet. But you can't. You can't. I mean, you can't and ever have God's purposes for your life. You can't ever live in the peace that God has got for you when you do that. There's lots of modern day examples of that. You can just look around. I'm going to pick on Kristen for a second. Kristen, listen.
Kristen was a scholar.
Kristen made straight A's. I don't know, your brother never made nothing below an A. You made up till you were what, a sophomore or junior? Well, anyway, she got Jesus. She got baptized in the Holy Ghost. She could have got a free ride. Her last year in high school, she's like, I don't need all this pre-college prep because that's not where I'm about now. And I'm pleased. I'm not trying to bring anybody down that's going there. But she knew that it was to serve Jesus and go to ministry school. That's what God had showed her. So she turned down. She could have got a free ride in any state school academic scholarship before she decided that, no, I'm going with Jesus. But she gave up things that could have made her rich and famous for the gospel. And she went to ministry school. And you can say, well, she don't have a church. She's not on the mission. She's on the mission field. You know, she's equipped. Something like scales fell off of Si's eyes. Something like scales fell off of his eyes, man. And it took a Jehovah's Witness coming to his house and studying faithfully with him for I don't know how long. Then a guy used to go to our church, run into him one day. He said, don't study with them. It's a cult, man. But they, God can use just about anything he chooses to, you know. He can use a donkey, right? All you got to do is be fat, faithful, available, and teachable. Go to Luke 18, and I'm closing for real. Man, if you'll just read the Word of God, it will build up your faith like nothing else. And you know, I think Si told me the other day, Si, I want y'all really need to congratulate him. He has got him a Apple iPhone. Apple, yes. iPhone. What'd I say? iPhone. I'm not messing with you, but he had, somebody told him, you can get the Bible on there and even listen to it. So he went down to wherever he bought the phone, and they put that app on there for him. He said, I've been listening to the Word of God. He was listening to the Word of God while he was deer hunting. That's probably why he didn't get nothing. It was scaring him all away, the Word of God. But you know what? I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. I'm proud of Si. I'm proud of all of y'all. Y'all have come. I know most of y'all's testimonies a little bit. You are rich with the wonders of God. Y'all are rich with the wonders of God, man. God has, he has saved you for a time such as this. And I am just, I know there's no intellectuals in here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to diss you. But if you was an intellectual, you definitely wouldn't be listening to me preach. You know, it's not real intellectual. It's not rocket science. But God, just listen to this verse here. 18, starting at verse 9. And Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in what? Themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. See, this is what we got to be careful of. We get right with God and we get righteous. We got to watch it or we'll start despising people. We'll look at their lifestyle, we'll look at their sin, and we'll forget. It's like, it says you look in the mirror and you forget what you look like. Well, praise God, I'm glad to forget my past, but you know what? It's not been so long ago that I don't remember what I was 20, 30 years ago. But sometimes I act like I don't know that. You know, and I get offended by sin. And we should be offended. We should hate sin, but we need to love people, you know. And I think that's something that's needs to get clearer and clearer. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector, a publican, sinner. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like this other man. I thank you, I'm not walking around Greenville naked. Praise God, I thank you, Lord. Especially on a day like this. I thank you, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Can you imagine? I fast twice a week, and I give my tithes of all that I possess. I even gave $100 to help Haiti out. We give to Israel. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And I think in another version, maybe King James is how I memorized it, but it says, in due time, you will be exalted. And sometimes I think the wait for that due time gets us weary. You know, it's that due time. It's that pregnant time. It's that now time when we deliver. Sometimes you can get weary and tired waiting for that moment. But it says if you will continually, what it says is you continually humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humbly. He will lift you up. He will exalt you. And do at just the right time. You know, Jesus was, listen, wrap your head around this. Jesus was the Son of God. Y'all believe that? Jesus never sinned. You believe that? He never was a bad boy. He never hurt anybody at school. He never made fun of nobody. He never told a lie. He never did anything wrong. Y'all agree with that? Nothing. He had to wait 30 years. Don't you think Jesus could have operated in the Spirit at 12? I mean, really, he was wowing the priests in the temple at 12 years old, right? Do you think he ever got tired of waiting? I think he was so humble that he just heard what the Father said. He spoke what the Father said, and he did what the Father said. He just waited because he knew his time was coming. And out of his whole life on the planet Earth, he only had one day when the people lifted him up and glorified him. Right? Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. One time. One time. For a perfect life. You know what? You may never be exalted by men. You may never be lifted up by men. But that's okay. That's okay. Jesus has got our reward. Jesus is going to give us the ultimate reward. Let's stand up. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Now wait, we echo that. Would you be the echo? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
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 And he will lift you up higher and higher. And he will lift you up. I want you to sing it and believe it and mean it. Come here, Sarah, up closer so I can hear you. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
In the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up higher and higher. And he will lift you up. broken and a contrite heart the Lord your God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart to the Lord your God will not despise. A broken and a contrite heart to the Lord your God will not despise. Come on! A broken and a contrite heart to the Lord your God will not despise. Again! A broken and a contrite heart to the Lord your God will not despise. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He will strengthen the weak. Causes strong men to stumble. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. I will humble myself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift me up. Higher and higher, and he will lift me up in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. Praise you. I just say that. I will humble myself. Come on. I will humble myself. Say it. I will humble myself. Who? In the sight of the Lord. And in due time, he will lift me up in the name of Jesus. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you power. We give you strength. We thank you for your anointing, God, that breaks the yoke. We thank you, God, for the scales falling off of our eyes right now in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord.